of what will be the signs of the end of the age and his return, he says there will be wars and rumors of wars. And I said to him, we have a general understanding that that means that those wars will continue and even escalate until the time that Jesus returns. But that's not all that he said. In verse 7 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus goes on to say, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Pestilences. I shared with that gentleman, you know, that word pestilence is not a word that we use today. It's not one that we are very familiar with, and so we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But COVID was a pestilence. And just as wars and rumors of wars would continue and even escalate until the time that Jesus comes, so would pestilences, so would diseases. And so I shared with this gentleman that instead of thinking about, boy, I can't wait until things get back to normal, perhaps what we really should realize is that this is the new normal and that we need to learn how to adjust to it. During the time that we were all sheltered at home, I was thinking about this quite a bit. And as a result of those particular instances that were occurring in the world and some of the things that were going on at BBN at the time, the Lord led me to Psalm 27. And that's where I would like us to spend our time together this morning, looking at what David had to say in Psalm 27. Turn with me there, if you would, please. And let's read that passage through together, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1, David writes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, We do thank you for this opportunity to look together into your word. And Lord, how we long that you would speak to us. How we long that you would grant us the opportunity of hearing from you. Lord, we're dealing with and facing some serious and difficult and trying times, and perhaps even more so in the days ahead. And we pray that you would use your word to help us to know how we should face these things, and help us to know what kind of people that we should be in light of where we are in this time in the world and where we are headed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at Psalm 27, I see that it is divided into four different parts. In verses 1-3, David communicates that he is confident of the Lord's protection. And then in verses 4-6, we see that he craves the Lord's communion. In verses 7-12, David cries out for God's direction. And then in verses 13 and 14, he confesses God's faithfulness. Let's look at that first section where David communicates his confidence in the Lord's protection in verses 1-3. You know, David, as we have read in other places in the Psalms, and also as we read in 2 Kings, David had had experience with the Lord even before he had been called to be the king of Israel. And because of those experiences where God had protected David, he was confident that God would continue to protect him even in whatever the situation was. We don't have the details as to what he's writing about in Psalm 27, but even there and in other instances that he would face in life, he was confident of God's protection. We notice in verse 1 that he describes God as his light and salvation. Light in scripture is often used as an illustration of understanding. And I believe that that is the way that it's being used here in verse 1 of Psalm 27. You know, if we're going to know God's protection, oftentimes we need to have a right understanding of what it is that we're going through and the situation that we are facing, and a right understanding of what we can expect from the Lord. And David says God is his understanding and will give him that understanding. As we think about what was going on just a couple of years ago in the height of COVID, my wife and I talked to a number of individuals who either had COVID or had family members who were dealing with COVID. We found that understandably people were scared. They didn't know what to expect. And interestingly enough, many individuals didn't even consider the fact that this was more than just a disease, just a pestilence, just the latest virus that had arrived on the scene. They didn't understand that perhaps this was something that God was using as a tool to accomplish his will in the world and in the lives of his people. And many Christians still don't understand that. They don't understand it about COVID. They don't understand it about some of the other things that are happening in our world today. And as a result of that, they don't understand what God is doing, and they don't have light and how we need light in this day and age. I find that God is willing to give that light if we'll ask him for it. During the time that we were sheltered at home, I had two prayers that I was praying continually. Number one, I was asking the Lord, what are you doing, God? Number two, What do you want me to know about this? What do you want me to understand about this? You see, David was convinced when he was surrounded by his enemies that God would give him light, and therefore he didn't need to be afraid. And God has promised to give us light. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 1, in a passage that James writes to Christians concerning suffering, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God has promised to give us light in the midst of difficulties. And so we need to take advantage of that great opportunity. David was convinced of it. We ought to be convinced of it. And if we are convinced of it, we recognize we don't need to be afraid. And I think God is trying to teach us that in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the things that we are going through and seeing unfold in our world today, we don't have to be afraid. In verse 2, David says that he was convinced that God would strengthen his life. Again, we think back on several situations that David experienced in his walk with God and things that he faced in his life. David experienced Saul trying to take his life. He experienced facing Goliath and that giant trying to take his life. He experienced being in the wrong place in the Philistine territory when he fled from Saul. And there were many other occasions when his life was in danger. And yet God protected him in each and every one of those situations. God gave him that protection, and that gave David for the present crisis that he was writing about in Psalm 27. COVID has taken many lives, taken the lives of many Christians. However, for Christians, life doesn't end when we leave this world, and you know that. We have received eternal life when we receive Jesus. And for us, if the worst should happen, we can still be confident that God is going to protect us, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, not even pestilences. In October of 2021, Avis and I contracted COVID. In November, we contracted pneumonia to go along with and complicate the COVID. And we began to have discussions that we never had before in our lives. We began talking about the fact that this thing is serious. For 3 months, we were very, very sick. And we discussed the fact that possibly we were going to end up going home to be with the Lord. However, even in those discussions, we were not afraid, and that was amazing. We were afraid of the process of death, because we have heard that COVID is a terrible way to die, but we were not afraid of death itself, for we knew that we would go home to be with Jesus. That confidence strengthened us as we were going through that ordeal. And Christians need to understand that whether it's pestilences, COVID, or some other disease, and my wife says that if COVID doesn't continue, something else is going to come along behind it. Whether it's famine, and we take a look at some of the things that are going on out west today, and some of our western states don't have the rain that they need to grow the crops that they need. I would not at all be surprised if we're not facing famine at some point in time in the future. If you've noticed in the grocery stores already, there are some things that we used to be able to get that aren't readily available anymore. Whether it's the war in the Ukraine, and who knows how all of that is going to play itself out and where that's going to end. Whether it is natural disasters. This week we saw a flood in eastern Kentucky, I'm sorry. Whether it's the rising prices as a result of inflation. All these things are real. And we cannot ignore them. We cannot say they're not happening. But we can say with all certainty that none of them, neither all of them together, can separate us from the love of God. And that is significant. And this confidence, the confidence that we belong to the Lord Jesus and nothing can change that, nothing can separate us from him, nothing can keep us from getting to glory, that is something that God is seeking to instill in his people during these uncertain times. That's the hope that we have. That brings us to the second section of this psalm, Psalm 27. In verses 4 through 6, David says he craves the Lord's communion. In verse 4, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David says that in the midst of the crises that he would face as king, in the midst of people seeking his life, there is one thing that he would desire. He doesn't desire deliverance. He doesn't desire revenge. You would think those would be the natural things that somebody would want. He says that he wants to be in the presence of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. How did David get there? Well, I think that in his previous crises, the Lord had taught David a couple of things. The first thing that he had taught him is that the things of this life are transitory. They don't last. David had known the comforts of the palace as the armor bearer of Saul and later the captain of his army. David had known also the cold of the cave of Adullam as he fled from Saul. David had known the regal royalty of being king over Israel, but he also knew the ruin of running from his son Absalom as his son chased him out of Jerusalem. David learned in life, especially in this world, that things are transitory. They don't last. And the second thing that David learned was even more than that. He learned that there is nothing more fulfilling than his relationship with God. I think about his son Solomon, who even learned that lesson in a more poignant way, because in the time of his rule, Solomon was the richest man who had ever lived. As you know, he had riches, he had fame, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He had whatever it is that his heart desired and whatever he could lay hold of that the world had to offer. And yet in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon would conclude, "Vanities of vanities, all is vanity, all is empty. All that I have experienced in this world, all that I know, it's all empty." And in the final chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, in the final verses, Solomon would write, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Solomon and David, his father, had both concluded that knowing God, worshiping God, serving God, those are the most satisfying activities that a person can be involved in. Beginning with COVID, continuing with the war in the Ukraine, the lack of commodities, rising prices, natural disasters, we're learning in new and fresh ways that the things of this world are transitory. They don't last. I think maybe that has caught some of us off guard in America because we've always known the blessings of the Lord in America, or at least we think we have. And we don't expect that to change. And they are changing. During the time that we were sheltered at home, many of the diversions that people look to somehow bring meaning to life or bring substance to life, those things were taken away. Movie theaters were shut down, restaurants were closed, sporting events came to an end. We were all shut in. None of those things were things that we could look to. But the amazing thing is that many Christians came to the realization that they were looking to those things as well to add some sort of meaning and fulfillment to their lives. And what those Christians, what we Christians are learning is that the only real thing, the only lasting thing in life is our communion with the Lord Jesus, our relationship with the Lord Jesus, and everything else is vanity. Everything else is empty. And sometimes God has to strip us of possessions. He has to strip us of activities, strip us of privileges, strip us of opportunities to teach us that truth. But there's something more there in that section of the psalm. The Hebrew word that's translated beauty in verse 4 can also be translated grace. I'm going to tell you, God's grace over the last few years has become more precious and more real to my wife and me than ever before in our Christian experience. And as we have talked with many Christians who have had COVID over the last couple of years, and many of them are still dealing with long-lasting side effects, as my wife and I are. And I think that they would tell you as well that God's grace is more precious to them than ever before. I think this is something God is teaching us, that fellowship with him and his grace, they're more precious than anything that this world has to offer. And it's a lesson that we need to learn. We need to learn this lesson now because I think more difficult times are on the way for our nation. The third section of this psalm is where David cries out for God's direction. In verses 7 through 12, David says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Perhaps you're wondering, wait a minute. Didn't David say in the first section of this psalm that he was confident of the Lord's protection? What happened? Well, I don't know what happened, but I think it is interesting what God's answer was when David cried out to him for direction. David said, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And God's response was, when he said unto me, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God said, put your focus back on me. You know, sometimes in the midst of crises, the heat of the battle gets turned up and our eyes wander away from the Lord and get focused on the battle. Or sometimes in the midst of the crises, we start hearing the whisperings of the devil and listening to that, and we take our focus off of the Lord. And that's probably what happened to David. He got his focus off of the Lord because God says, seek ye my face. We experience the same things that David experiences. And it's not just in the Old Testament that we are told to put our focus back on the Lord. We have the same admonition in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. That was written to Christians, Hebrew Christians, who were suffering for the cause of Christ. Christians who were being ostracized by their families and by their communities, and were being put out of their homes. And in the midst of all of that, God was saying to them, put your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our example. He's gone through the kinds of struggles that we go through, and yet he was victorious. And the implication is that we will be victorious too if we maintain our focus. But we also need to understand that that focus is a choice. David in verse 8 says, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David chose to refocus on the Lord, and we must choose to do the same thing. And when we think about the things that people have experienced that have shaken them to their cores recently, they've lost loved ones, they've lost their health, they've lost their jobs, and in some cases, their businesses. Inflation has made it difficult to acquire goods and services. Those things tempt us to be shaken to our core and tempt us to take our focus off of Jesus. But like David, we must choose to focus on him, keep our focus on him, refocus on him, and then only then will we know peace and comfort, direction and encouragement and strength to keep going on. That brings us to the final portion of this psalm, and I'm going to have to quickly move through this. In verses 13 and 14, David confesses his confidence in God's faithfulness. In verse 13, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Actually, the words had fainted are in italics. They're not in the original text. A more original statement would be, I am assured of, or I trust to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Fainting in David's mind was not an option. It wasn't a part of the equation. It was not something that he was thinking. And obviously, somewhere along the way, between David crying out for God's direction and David at this point saying that he is confident of God's faithfulness, God did a work in David's heart. Now, I don't know what that work was, but it changed David's perception. It changed his outlook on things. He went from crying out for God's protection to being confident that God was going to bring him through that situation that he was facing. Now, let me tell you something. As I was crying out to the Lord about things that had disturbed me, things that Avis and I were going through, some things that had taken place at BBN, God directed me to this verse. This is how I got to Psalm 27. I woke up one morning, that verse was right there on my heart, and it continued to be on my heart. As I shared with some people about some of the things that I was struggling with, they would quote that verse to me. And it was as if God was saying, trust me, look to me, wait on me. And I got to the place where I would say, Lord, okay, you're telling me to wait, but I don't know what I'm waiting for. You know, sometimes we wait for the Lord to change the situation and the circumstances. And he did do that. He changed some of those circumstances and situations as I was waiting for him. But as I was thinking about this verse, it struck me that God is strengthening our heart for one reason and one reason only, and that's to hang in there until the end. That end may be a change in the situation. Things may get better for a period of time in this world, but I don't think that they're going to last. As a matter of fact, I know that the Bible teaches we're headed for the wrap-up of the age, and I think that personally, I think that Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. And so I think what God is strengthening us for is to hang in there until Jesus comes. And that what he's telling us is to wait on the Lord is wait until he comes. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word that is translated there, wait, is actually the term look eagerly for. Look eagerly for. God is telling us to look eagerly for the Lord. In the midst of the crises that we're currently facing, in the midst of what may be coming down the road, we need to look eagerly for the Lord Jesus to show up. I think that's the new normal for the child of God. I don't think we're looking for things to get back to the way that they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I think men are waxing worse and worse. I think all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. I think we are seeing the signs of the ends of the time. And God is saying, eagerly look for the return of Jesus. That's what I get from Psalm 27. That's what the Lord has taught me over the last couple of years. And I think it's a message that he has for his church in the world today. As I wrap up, I want to offer something to you that I heard the other night that was quite powerful last Friday night. Some of you know that on BBN, we have a program that airs Monday through Saturday evenings at 9 o'clock called Conference Pulpit. We have various speakers that share messages from all over the world. Last Friday night, we had a brother from England who, by the name of John Blanchard, who shared a message titled Pop Goes the Gospel. And he was speaking about music and the trends that are taking place in music. And the things that he had to share were not new. I've heard them, I've known them for years, but the way that he shared them and the way that he communicated them were unique, powerful. And the things he had to share, I think every Christian needs to hear. And so I have asked George, first of all, I asked Bill if it was okay for me to make this available to you. and he wholeheartedly agreed with that. And so George has actually sent that link to that message to all of your email addresses. So when you get home today or at some other point in time during the week, I would encourage you to click on that and listen to that message, because I think it's something that we need to hear and understand about some of the things that are happening in the church today. Thank you for your time. I apologize for running over a little bit, but I really feel that these are things that the Lord would have for us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are God and that you change not, that you are not in any way influenced by or disturbed by or changed by the situations that we face in the world, that when things come our way that are insurmountable and bigger than we are, you're not wringing your hands wondering what you're going to do. We thank you, Father, that you have had a plan from the foundations of the world and that you are working out your plan. And even from the foundations of the world, you have been moving pieces like pieces on a chessboard in place. You've been working with individuals. You've been working with nations. You've been working behind the scenes to bring about the things that you said would take place in your word. And Father, we are in awe of the fact that we are witnessing some of that take place even in our own times today. We don't fully understand it all, but we can see how things are lining up. And Father, I think it's obvious that we are looking for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that our hope is not in this world. We thank you that as we see things crumbling all around us, that we can rejoice in the fact that we have a home in glory. We have a place at your table. We have riches that are laid up for us in store that moth cannot rust, or moth cannot eat, rust cannot corrupt, thieves cannot break through and steal. Thank you for the privilege of being a child of God, an heir of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us. Help us to live as your people who have that hope in this world that we are facing today. And help us to be people who would be eagerly looking to tell others about the hope that we have, that they might have that hope in a world that's crumbling all around them. Help us to be people who are living expectantly and waiting for Jesus and living in such a way that people who don't know Christ would see the difference in us, would see the hope and the joy and see the peace and would want what we have. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We ask it all for his glory. Amen.